The first piece of research that I saw that even remotely began to validate this came in the summer of 1995 in the Journal of Advancement in Medicine. Three researchers, Glenn Ryan, Mike Atkinson, and Roland McCready, introduced a paper into the journal, and the title of the paper was called The Physiological and Psychological Effects of Compassion and Anger. And what they did was they studied over a six-hour period the immune parameter that we call S-IgA. It's present in saliva and in the mucous membranes in the upper respiratory system and in our mouth. And what they discovered was this, that over a six-hour period from the samples and the test group that they worked with, in the presence of the emotion of anger, that the immune response was depressed over 5 hours after the event that caused the emotion in the first place. So in other words, they may be angered in one moment, 5 hours later, their immune system is still depressed in response to that anger. And they also found that as that anger was reconciled, as it was resolved, as it was healed, the S-IgA productions increased. And the increase continued 5 and 6 hours after the emotion that caused the increase in the first place. The summary of the study, it said, anger significantly inhibited production of S-IgA up to 5 hours after the emotional experience. Positive emotions, on the other hand, produced a significant increase in the S-IgA levels. For the first time now, here's a documented study demonstrating a relationship between emotion and our immune system. Okay, that's our immune system. There is a new phenomenon, spontaneous genetic mutation that's occurring. It's occurring within the single lifetime of an individual. Let me explain a little bit why that's important. In our history, our biological history, we're used to seeing a population exposed to something different in their environment. Maybe they live under high-tension power lines or something that is affecting the environment. And that affects that generation. Well, the next generation, new children that are born, they show the genetic changes in response to that. We're used to seeing that. That has happened. It's well documented. What's different about this is that the changes are occurring within the same generation that are being challenged by the virus or by the environment. And that's happening within 4 or 5 years. When I was in school, I was conditioned that could never be. That our genetic code is a fixed code. And now, in light of some of these findings, researchers are beginning to ask the question, is it possible that our matrix could be a variable code? Is it possible that we come into this life with a certain number of genetic options turned on to get us started in our world, and that through the choices we make in response to life, we either enable or disable these other codes? We turn them on or turn them off on the fly. They're asking the question, is that possible? The research is beginning to suggest the answer may be yes. Further studies from University of Alabama in Birmingham by a gentleman named Richard Kaslow found that long-term survivors of HIV often possess 6 genes that are key in the immune response. They've actually identified these genes. B is in Baker, their genes B27, B57, B18, and B51, and gene A32 and A25. A is in alpha. So for the first time, they're looking at the people now that are demonstrating these capabilities that we haven't seen in the past. They're looking for common threads. What is it about these people? What is it that's changed? What do they have in common? In 1996, New England Journal of Medicine reported a study through University of California at Los Angeles, UCLA School of Medicine. It was a report, and this one did make front page news. It was in major magazines and large city newspapers across the country. They reported the study of a young male, a young boy. He was now 5 years old. He was born HIV positive. It was documented twice within 1 month after his birth. He had the HIV virus when he came in to this life. 5 years later, the studies that were done several times just to ensure that they were accurate, because what they were saying suggested something so outrageous. 5 years later, the study said that it's not that the virus was dormant in this young man's body. The virus had disappeared. It was gone. It was gone. Because it didn't make any sense to his immune system any longer. This is the first time this was ever documented, although I suspect it may have happened many times, and we've never documented it. So what are these studies saying to us? Could it be as easy as shifting the way that we think, the way that we feel, and the way that we emote?